Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up to date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon on this Memorial Day. We here at St. Gabriel's Trumpet would like to take this time to honor those who gave their lives in service and defense of our country. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon them. Today on the Trumpet, we've got a very full show for you. We're going to hear about a couple of vocation stories. We're also going to hear about the Immaculate Heart of Mary homeschool and parent conferences that are coming up. But first up, the month of May is the month which the Piety of the Faithful has especially dedicated to our Blessed Lady, and it's the occasion for a moving tribute of faith and love which Catholics in every part of the world should pay to the Queen of Heaven. In observance of this month of Mary, the Italian Village Men's Faith Sharing Group will be led by Father Carvalho in a special Marian Rosary this evening, May 26th, at 6:30 p.m. at St. John the Baptist. All parishioners of St. John, Sacred Heart, and other parishes and their friends and families are invited to participate in praying this rosary. Trumpet correspondent Carrie Migalski speaks with Bob Contino, a Third Order Franciscan and an active member of the Italian Men's Faith Sharing Group, about the importance of honoring Mary, especially during the month of May, and the different activities that the group sponsors to help in the faith formation of its members.
I'm joined here in the studio with Robert Contino, who is a Third Order Franciscan brother and also a very active member of the Italian Village Men's Faith Sharing Group that's a part of the St. John the Baptist Parish. Welcome to the studio.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you also for being a very long-time volunteer with St. Gabriel Radio. You are instrumental in all kinds of things where you truly are living out your faith. But share with us what inspires you to be particularly a part of the Men's Faith Sharing Group.
Well, I didn't grow up in Columbus, my wife and I. But we went to St. John's. They made us feel like that was home, and we were so welcome. And to be involved with the Men's Faith Sharing Group, I felt a step forward to be involved and to help keep the parish strong and growing. And whatever was needed to support Father Antonio to keep our the faith growing and whatever we needed to do. And he asked us to step forward.
And as we hear throughout the year, this really instrumental in doing certain activities with the community like the Italian Festival. So share with us some of the activities that you share as a group to kind of build that community and build that faith.
Okay. One of the things at the Italian Festival we started, there's a reconciliation room in our parish. Well, during the festival, it's not going to be used. Last year, we decided to turn it into a Catholic answer room. And we asked many of the deacons of the diocese to come and the diaconate office. And they loved it so well that they're thinking of doing it in their parish's festivals. But the idea was to let, you know, what are we there for? It's a church festival. Let's show the church what it really is. And we wanted to share our faith.
And May being the very special month to honor Mary with different devotions, novenas, and prayers such as the rosary, what are you doing in your personal life that is really honoring our Blessed Mother for this particular month as well?
In our personal life, especially my wife and I both are both Third Order Franciscans, we are right now in the middle of our total 33-day consecration to the Blessed Mother. We're following the guidelines of St. Louis de Montfort. We have a booklet, but there are several other 33-day consecrations, too, that can be followed. But and at the end, we, as a group, will publicly dedicate ourselves to let people know that how we are dedicated to the Blessed Mother. And why May? I think May because it's the anniversary, May 13th, of Our Lady of Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
And I have also a personal battle that try to keep more stronger with the Blessed Mother. When Jesus gave her to St. John as Mother, he stood there for every one of us at the foot of the cross so we could place ourselves there and take thy mother.
And it really feels like the closer we try to get to our Blessed Mother, the more struggles or obstacles that we see. So share with us, the Italian Men's Faith Sharing Group is doing something very special at the end of the month in honor of Mary with the Marian Rosary.
We're going to have a Marian Rosary, and we're going to also have benediction. And Father Antonio is very dedicated to the Blessed Mother. And he's going to lead us in a Marian Rosary on the 26th, 6 p.m., at St. John's, the Baptist Church.
And all are welcome. And we truly thank you, Bob, for being a part of such a great group that really gives us these opportunities to become closer to Mary and our Blessed
thank
Mother.
Thank you, yes.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us
You're
on the
trumpet. You're welcome. I appreciate it.
If you have any questions about the Italian Village Men's Faith Sharing Group, you can contact Dan Pilateri at dpillitt@insight.rr.com. On May 2nd, Bishop Frederick Campbell ordained five new diocesan transitional deacons: Deacon Tony Davis from St. Joseph in Delaware, Deacon Tom Gardner from St. Catherine, Deacon Michael Hartke from St. Matthew, Deacon Brian O'Connor from Seton Parish, and Deacon Nick Ventura from Lancaster St. Mary of the Assumption Parish. Each will be working within a parish this summer and will be entering their last year in the seminary with the hopes of being ordained next May. Our own Bill Messerly sat down with newly ordained Deacon Tom Gardner and spoke about his ordination to the transitional diaconate and his vocation story.
The St. Gabriel Listening Family extends our heartfelt congratulations to Tom Gardner, who was ordained to the transitional diaconate. How does it feel to hear Deacon Tom Gardner?
You know, it's funny. Some people, you know, they're like, oh, hey, Tom. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, Deacon Tom, you know, and I tell them, you know, I'm still getting used to it myself, but it's a joy. It is such a joy to be ordained. You know, I was talking to my brother seminarians at the Josephinum and telling them, you know, if I died tomorrow, I would die a happy man. It's all worth it. It's just a joy to be ordained for service to the church.
And you're a transitional deacon. How is that different than a permanent diaconate?
Yeah, so many of our listeners have probably seen permanent deacons around the parish. I mean, great men that are doing really good work for our diocese. And, you know, they're helping out at Mass. And so the main difference between permanent deacons that you would normally see at a parish and a transitional deacon is that a transitional deacon is transitional, quote unquote, in the sense that they are looking to be ordained a priest in about a year or maybe a little less, depending on how your specific diocese does that. So a transitional deacon is looking to be ordained a priest, whereas with permanent deacons, most of the time they're married men who are serving the parish as deacons.
You're hearing from Deacon Tom Gardner, one of five transitional deacons who was ordained by Bishop Campbell to the transitional diaconate on May 2nd at St. Andrew Parish. How did your vocation story start?
It definitely started in the home. Just very, very blessed with good parents and good siblings. A lot of love. My parents raised us right, you know, taking us to Mass every Sunday, teaching us how to pray, reading scripture with us around the dinner table, and praying before meals and before bed. So that was definitely the beginning. You know, my mom loves to tell the story of a time we were in the kitchen together, and it was just one of those little mother-son moments, and she's making something on the counter, and I'm just sort of watching her, and she asked me, so Tommy, what do you want to be when you grow up? And out of nowhere, out of the blue, I don't even remember this. That's how young I was like, a priest, you know? So that was sort of, you know, I think God's had that call on my heart for a long time. It just took me a little while to sort of really start to think about it. So that's sort of how it started, was just that really firm foundation of good, faithful family life with my parents just doing a really great job. Love you, Mom and Dad. You're probably listening right now. So,
well, Deacon Tom Gardner, so it was nothing in the home that was extraordinary when it comes to prayer, but it was regular.
Of course, yeah. It was just, you know, very much the air that we breathed. You know, we were a Catholic family, and I knew that. So sort of my identity was as a Catholic, you know. And then that sort of started to develop more as I got into college. So in college, I really started to take my faith on as more my own faith, not just the faith of my parents that I was practicing, but really coming to a knowledge of who I was as a Catholic man. And that happened in the context of living with St. Paul's Outreach, who many of our listeners have probably heard of. It's a wonderful, wonderful Catholic group at Ohio State. They're probably all like clapping like, yeah, plug for SPO. But it was living with these good men and women in college. You know, I lived in one of the households that SPO has on OSU's campus. Living in that context, you know, I was living with other men who are Catholic men. We were getting up early to pray in the mornings, and we would have dinner together in the evenings. And we were going out and reaching out to people on campus and sharing our Catholic faith. And so that was a really big time for me, that my faith was deepened a lot, and I started going to daily Mass, started getting more of the sacraments. You go and get a reconciliation often. And so it was through all of that, through just this really Catholic renaissance, you might say, in my life, that I started not telling God what I was going to do, but asking, Lord, what's your call for me? You know, what do you have for me? Because I realized that, you know, I don't really have the plan, you know, nothing that I've thought up has made me happy. The only thing I realized in college, the only thing that really sets me on fire is living totally for Jesus Christ. And so the question was then, how can I do that the best? What is God's call for me? You know?
Deacon Tom Gardner, you're so real. I overheard a conversation that you had with one of your friends at SBO on a recent prayer retreat. How did that come about, the realness of your faith and the fluidity of your conversations to talk so openly about Jesus Christ being the center of your mm-hmm. life?
You know, I think a lot of it is just that daily prayer that was fostered in my time in SPO, you know, taking time every single day to just be with Jesus, you know, and that's really obviously the reality of prayer. And so that's how it happened for me, was just taking that time, especially like in the early morning. I would sit there with my rosary in a chair, you know, the sun's coming up, and I would just pray. And those were the times where I started to hear God's call and where I just developed that relationship with Mary and her obviously leading me to her son, Jesus.
So Mary was an important part of your vocation story.
Definitely, definitely. And I think she's an important part of everyone's vocation. Whether it be to, you know, priestly or religious life, or to marriage, or even to single life. I think Mary shows us how to be a disciple. You know, she is the disciple par excellence. And I think as I came to know her better, I came to know, okay, my heart is set on fire by serving people, and the greatest way I can think of to serve someone is to bring them Jesus Christ and the sacraments. And that's sort of the reality of the priesthood.
You're hearing from Deacon Tom Gardner, a parishioner at St. Catherine Parish in Bexley and one of five new transitional deacons who anticipate being ordained to the priesthood next May. Isn't that amazing?
It's very exciting. Yeah, it is hard to believe that there's only one year to go. I like to say to people that my time at the seminary is like there are short years and long days, you know. so it is a joy, though. It is a joy to be a seminarian, and really just one more year to go now.
What's seminary life like?
It's great. You know, there are obviously challenges. I mean, anytime you get a group of guys living together in community, there's going to be sort of tensions. And one analogy that I really like, it was one of the saints, is escaping me now, but he talks about community life as sort of a bag of rocks. You know, you take these rough, jagged rocks and you throw them into a bag and you sort of shake it up. And when they come out of the bag, they're nice and smooth and rounded off. So sort of living in community is our way of like sort of knocking off those rough edges, you know. Seminary, you know, the days are sort of structured around prayer. We pray in the morning and in the evening together to sort of like bookend the day in prayer and time with our Lord. And we begin with Mass and prayer as well. So Mass and then, or morning prayer and then Mass in the morning, and then we have classes during the day, and the evenings are our free time, you know, to study and then hang out with the other brothers there. And there is a lot of really good community life at the seminary. The fraternity there is just amazing. It's really a joy to be part of the community.
So this is just the beginning of everything, all this excitement that's coming up. This mm-hmm. summer, what are you going to be doing?
So this summer, I'm at St. Paul's Parish, and I'll be there this coming school year as well. And what that sort of entails for me is preaching at masses, helping out with baptisms, going and seeing the school kids. I was just having lunch there today before coming to this interview. So just really being very much involved in the life of the community at St. Paul's.
Well, we'd like to thank you for answering God's call to the diaconate and also to the priesthood. We wish you many blessings as this next year progresses.
Well, thank you very much. It was my pleasure to talk with you about it. And hopefully there's many young men out there who are listening who maybe God's placing that call on their hearts.
Our newly ordained transitional deacons will be busy this summer. Deacon Tony Davis will serve at St. Joseph Cathedral. Deacon Tom, as you heard, will serve at St. Paul the Apostle in Westerville. Deacon Michael Hartke will serve at his home parish, St. Matthew in Gahanna. Deacon Brian O'Connor will serve at his home parish, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Pickerington. And Deacon Nick Ventura is heading back home to his roots at Lancaster St. Mary of the Assumption. Let us pray and give thanks for our new transitional deacons that they bring the charity of Christ to the heart of their diaconal life. The Immaculate Heart of Mary Homeschool and Parent Conferences were started in 2002 with the main focus of hosting the National Conference, which is now held in Fredericksburg, Virginia, and it's the largest Catholic homeschooling conference in the U.S. Many families further away couldn't attend this conference, so they asked to bring smaller versions of this conference to their city. This year, there are 19 additional regional conferences over 5 months, almost one each weekend, which will have Catholic vendors and national speakers. This year, there will be a free conference at St. Peter's Church in Huber Heights, 8 miles north of Dayton, on Friday, June 27th, from 2 p.m. until 8 p.m. and on Saturday, June 28th from 9:30 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. There's a great lineup of speakers coming to the conference, Dr. Ray Guarendi, Colleen Hammond, Mary Ellen Barrett, and two priests, Father Shannon Michael Collins and Father Sean Kopsinski. There will be used books for sale and conference-only discounts. All are welcome, anyone of any faith. Anyone who would like to learn more and be encouraged, beginners and veterans alike, should be there. Correspondent Carrie Migalski spoke with Mary Lou Warren, the director of the Immaculate Heart of Mary Homeschool and Parent Conferences, about Catholic homeschooling in general and the importance of attending one of these conferences.
I'm joined here today with Mary Lou Warren, who is the director of the Immaculate Heart of Mary Homeschool and Parent Conferences. Thank you for joining us on the trumpet, Mary Lou.
Oh, thank you, Carrie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about what this organization is.
All right, the Immaculate Heart of Mary Coalition was established in 2002 with the purpose of hosting a national homeschooling conference in the D.C. area. And since then, several cities have approached us to bring something similar to their areas because they can't, you know, many of their families can't attend for one reason or another. So although it's on a much smaller scale than the big conference, we try to bring in national speakers and have as many vendors that are able to come, and just to try to encourage and inform homeschooling families and to re-energize them.
And you have an event coming up in Dayton very soon. Can you tell us what is this event?
Okay, the event is going to be our IHM Dayton Homeschool Conference, and it is for everyone of any faith, any age. And we're going to be bringing in some phenomenal speakers. Two priests in particular are Father Shannon Michael Collins, who had been with EWTN, and Father Sean Kopsinski. And everybody knows Dr. Ray Guarendi. He's usually a very favorite and you know, well-dressed speaker there. So he will be coming. Mary Ellen Barrett, who's from Long Island, New York, and Colleen Hammond, who's from Texas.
So, Mary Lou, when will this event take place?
Okay, the event is going to take place on Friday, June 27th, from 2 to 8, and on Saturday, June 28th, from 9:30 to 3:30.
And it's a free conference at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Huber Heights?
Right.
And who is welcome to attend?
Anybody is welcome to attend, anybody of any age or any denomination. Anybody who's interested, who is thinking about homeschooling, or anybody who's already homeschooling and just needs that little shot in the arm to be re-energized.
Mary Lou, what can someone who's participating at this conference expect from the conference?
Well, there are just so many benefits to coming to a conference like this. One is you're in an environment where everybody is supportive of what you're doing. And so you can meet like-minded people, especially other parents. You can discuss with national speakers your particular concerns about your children or issues you're dealing with. You can receive guidance and advice from the vendors concerning their materials. You can have just a whole day to dedicate to learning and thinking about your curriculum options. And you get to feel and touch and go through the materials so you know what you're getting. And plus, an added benefit is you can save money because there are used books available, and also there are conference-only discounts, and you save on shipping fees for much of the material that's there.
Well, this sounds like a wonderful conference for families that are involved with a homeschooling experience. Where can someone get more information?
Okay, our website is www.ihmconference.org.
Thank you so much, Mary Lou, and we look forward to hearing more about this conference and attending the conference in Dayton.
Oh, great. Thank you so much, Carrie, and God bless you.
God bless you.
For more information on attending the Dayton Catholic Homeschooling Conference, please visit www.ihmconference.org. Alicia Hartley was born in Columbus, Ohio, to a non-practicing Protestant family. During her teenage years, she learned about the Catholic Church and became increasingly interested in the Catholic faith. She joined RCIA at St. Michael's Church in Worthington during her senior year in high school and came into the church at the age of 18. She's a graduate of Ohio State University and a teacher at Modern Day Academy and currently a candidate with the Sisters of Divine Spirit in Canton. She's also an aspirant with the Labore Society, a 501c3 organization that helps with student loan resolution for those blocked from entering the religious life because of their student loan debt. Carrie spoke with Alicia about her journey of discernment.
Good afternoon. We're visited today by Alicia Hartley, who is a teacher with Modern Day Academy and is also aspiring vocation with the Sisters of the Divine Spirit in Canton, Ohio. She's here to talk to us about her story and her journey through this discernment process. Welcome to The Trumpet, Alicia. So tell us a little bit about how this began. What is your background? And talk to us about your story.
Well, my story starts when I was a teenager. And at the time, my family was Protestant, but they were not practicing. And like many teenagers, I was struggling with some things. And those issues really started leading me to God. So I felt compelled to start going to church. And I started going with a friend. And from there, I just started church hopping wherever I could go. And after a while, I started wondering about some of the things we were being taught in the Protestant church and just the sheer number of denominations and wondering what that was all about. And so after some time, I learned about the Catholic faith. And with all these problems I had with the Protestant faith, I started wondering, maybe there's something here in the Catholic faith. So I started studying on my own. I didn't know any Catholics at the time. I didn't have any Catholic friends or family. And I started studying on the internet or whatever books I could get on the Catholic faith. And I really learned about Catholic apologetics, and that really helped me to learn about those questions I had about the Catholic faith. And I felt that what I was searching for was in the church, in the Catholic Church. And so I kept studying, and finally I met a priest who just really took me under his wing and answered my questions and helped me with some of the issues that came up as my parents learned about my interest in the Catholic faith. And so I kept discerning, and I kept studying the faith. And finally, when I was my senior year of high school, my parents agreed that I could join RCIA. And so I did that. And then a few months before I graduated from high school, I was able to come into the church.
Wow. Were you faced with a lot of opposition coming from a Protestant household?
Yes. My parents really didn't know how to take it at first. It was kind of a shock for them. And there was kind of some anti-Catholic tendencies in the house, just some things that they had heard and misconceptions and that type of thing about the Catholic faith. And so that was a little difficult. But after some time of realizing that this wasn't just a phase, that I was interested in the Catholic faith, they saw that this is what I really wanted, and this is what would make me happy. And so they, after some time, it took them a while to get there, but they, finally got used to the idea.
How did you come to learn that you were actually also discerning a call?
Well, shortly after coming into the church, the priest that had been helping me during my journey into the church started hinting that I should look into the religious life. And it was quite a shock for me, because I never met a religious sister. I didn't know anything about sisters or the religious life. And so I kind of blew him off at the time. And I'm sorry, but sometime later, I was invited to a vocational retreat with a mother superior of a local community. And so I went, and it was quite a culture shock at the time, actually. I wasn't ready for the prayer life and the poverty, and it was a lot to take in as a pretty new Catholic. And so after that, I didn't feel called there, but I did start to feel this interest in the religious life. And so I started searching other orders and discerning with other vocations, as time went on, as I started college.
So when you actually found the Sisters of the Divine Spirit, what drew you to them?
Well, I was really taken aback by their love and their dedication. I had visited a lot of good communities, but when I visited them, all the sisters lined up and they all greeted me and, you know, some, you know, gave me a hug right away. And so I felt a real loving presence there, but also being able to witness their apostolate. Their nursing home is currently attached to their mother house, and being able to see the work that they were doing with the elderly and just the loving care that they provided for these people, and getting to know them more just really drew them to me and wanted me to look into them more and to eventually join them.
Did you feel you were always being called to work with the elderly or the seniors, or is that something that was kind of part of this journey?
Well, I still feel more called to the teaching apostolate, which is mm-hmm. what they also do. And as I've visited them and have had a chance to work in the apostolate more, it's kind of warm on me. It's a little different from working with young children. I'm sure at some point I'll be doing a little bit of both while they're.
And you've given this a lot of prayer and discernment. So right now you kind of incorporate that into your teaching, also in your interactions with the kids. So you are doing what God's calling you to do right now on your path, which is a beautiful thing because you are on this journey. You're also involved with the Laboray Society, which is a society that helps individuals into the priestly and religious formation. Can you tell us a little bit about the society?
Well, the Laboray Society, is their whole purpose is to help people that are in my situation, where they have been accepted into a religious or priestly institution and are currently blocked because of their student loan debt. So as an aspirant with the Laboray Society, I'm working to share my vocation with others and to invite them into my vocation and to ask for their support in whatever way they can. And in some ways that includes financial assistance so that I can hopefully take care of this debt so that I can enter the sisters.
Well, thank you, Alicia, for joining us and for sharing your story, because it is very inspiring to hear. If you want to learn more about the Laboray Society and how to help many of these aspirants, you can go to laboraysociety.org. And in particular, to help Alicia Hartley, you can go to the list of aspirants and look at her story and learn more about her as well. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
For more information about the Sisters of Divine Spirit, please visit SemperCaritas.org. For the St. Gabriel Trumpet Team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.